Would be seated and turn your Bible to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Today I want to talk to you about the work of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not some playboy. He is a worker. And he shows up in people's lives to do a great work, a work that will change that person from nature to grace. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Look at John 16 and 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then he tells how the Holy Ghost will reprove or convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now look down at verse 12, John 16, 12. Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you." The Holy Ghost is a person, the third person of the Godhead. This is his dispensation, and he is here to manifest the glorious works of the cross. My subject, the works of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Spirit that has been here, how you've already healed people today. Lord, how you've blessed people, how you've seated us together in heavenly places. Lord, I pray this morning for a impartation of revelational knowledge to your children, to those who haven't been saved, God, that they will see, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they may know you and know you personally and come to know you more and more and receive greater and greater things through the power of the Holy Ghost. Open our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Let me preach this gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he shall glorify me. He does not glorify man. The Holy Ghost does not glorify a denomination. He does not glorify an organization. He will not glorify an individual. The Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus. Jesus said, he shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine from me, and he shall reveal it unto you. That means that the Holy Ghost will take the great redemptive truths of God, what Jesus did in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, of what happened on that cross, of what happened in the unseen spirit world, of what happened when Jesus became sin for us, and he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in him, of what happened when he took our sickness and disease upon himself, and he did it all for you and me. The Holy Ghost will take the things of Jesus, and he will reveal them unto us. He does not reveal the psychology of man. He does not reveal the teachings of man. He will unveil the redemptive works of God. Jesus said he will take the things that belong unto me, and he will reveal them unto you. He shall glorify me. He shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. He shall speak of what is revealed to him from heaven. He shall show you things to come. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he is going to glorify me. Now, we're a Pentecostal people, and I believe we ought to be a praising people. I believe we ought to be a happy people. I believe we ought to be a shouting people. I believe we ought to be a dancing people. All I have to do is think about that time when that nail-scarred hand touched me. I came out of darkness into the marvelous light, and all of a sudden my whole world was changed because I'd been changed inside. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. The place I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. There's been a change, a glorious change, since the Lord laid his hands on me. If that's your testimony, go on and praise him. Give him some glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He's the Most High. He's possessor of heaven and earth. And he is a deliverer from every enemy that you will ever face. Now go with me to Acts chapter 2, where we find the descent of the Holy Ghost. He had been promised. The disciples were gathered in a little upper room, and they were waiting for the promise of the Spirit. And they weren't disappointed either. He hit that place like a mighty rushing wind. One man said he came like a wind because he was in a hurry to get here because he had a work to do. It was a wind that blew in from elsewhere. It was a wind from heaven. And that's what we need today. We need a wind from heaven to blow upon us and to remove the musty smell of religion and tradition and the doctrines of men. We need the work of the Holy Ghost, not the works of some dead religion. We need him because God said it's not by power nor by might. God said it's my way. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory, glory, glory. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 2, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The posture of prayer is they were sitting, just like you're sitting today. The Holy Ghost invaded that place, and he can invade your life if you'll open your heart to him. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And all of them began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That was not just one fire. There was a fire for every head. And God has a fire for your head. God has a fire for the preacher's head. God's got a fire for the Sunday school's head. God's got a fire for the layman's head. God's got a fire for the ushers. God's got a fire for every head. God's got a fire. And God wants to pour that fire out and change you and take you into the deep, deep depths of the Spirit. Somebody, go on and praise them for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They began. It's when you get full of the Holy Ghost that you began. You began to do mighty works because the Holy Ghost has come to do a work in you, a work through you, and then to flow out of you into the lives of suffering humanity. They began to speak in tongues, and then they began to invade the world with power from on high. They began to cast out devils. They began to heal the sick. They began to say, no devil, you can't have my children. No devil, you can't have my home. No devil, you can't have my family. No devil, you're not going to keep me in poverty. No devil, you're not going to rule and reign in this situation. They began to take a stand against the powers of the devil, and they turned their world upside down by the power of the Holy Ghost. They laid hands on the sick, and they healed them. They brought victory to the people that heard them preach. And if any preacher's worth his salt, he ought to be able to bring some victory and bring the power of God, because that's power from on high. And Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to his church to give them power so they could begin and so they can continue to do the works of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They began to rule and reign in life by one Jesus Christ. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began. And today we need to get full of the Holy Ghost and began. Oh, I got him years ago, Pastor. Well, began again. Hallelujah. Began. Just keep on beginning. Jesus said, when he is come. Thank God he has come. Hallelujah. Thank God he has come, and he has come for the whole world. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as are afar off. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the church. If you want to blame anybody for speaking in tongues, blame Jesus. That was 100 people in that upper room. His mother was there. They all came out. Peter, James, and John, the disciples, 120 of them, came out drunk as a skunk, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. They mocked them. They said, these people are drunk. Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk like you suppose. They're drunk all right. But this is that which Joel the prophet spoke of, that in the last days God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Aren't you glad he poured it out on you? Aren't you glad for the power, the anointing, and the glory of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. He's a gift. He's a gift for the whole world. It's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has come. I think we ought to just stand, take a praise break. Come on, let's give God some glory. Let's give him some hallelujahs. Let's give him some thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He has come, and he has come to do something great for you. He has come to work in your life. He has come to transform your life. He has come, praise God, and he's a worker, and he's come to change you, so you can be more and more like Jesus. Thank God he has come. Hallelujah. He comes for you, and then he comes to do something great for you. Hallelujah. I want to give you four reasons today why the Holy Ghost came. First of all, he came to impart. Secondly, he came to empower. Thirdly, he came to enlighten. Leave it up there a moment. Fourthly, he came to enforce. He came to impart. He came to empower. He came to enlighten. And he came to enforce. First of all, the Holy Ghost came to impart. He came to impart something to you. He came to impart the life of God to you. Eternal life. The new birth. The Bible says in John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a religious man, and he came to Jesus by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus quickly responded to this searching soul, and he said, you must be born again. Except you be born again, I say unto you, you cannot see into the kingdom of God. That's the problem. People cannot see it. The natural man receives not the things of the spirit. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. And the Holy Ghost is on a mission to give you revelational knowledge of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus said he shall take the things of mine and shall show them unto you. Hallelujah. See, Jesus, he was saying the first thing the Holy Ghost wants to do for you, Nicodemus, is he wants to give you the new birth. He wants to impart the eternal life of God to you. You see, he didn't come just to give you a feeling. He didn't come just to be an influence. He came to take charge of everything. He said that he didn't come to sin. Jesus didn't send the Holy Ghost into this world to give you religion. That's what I'm trying to say. Nicodemus had religion. A lot of people, they have religion. Amen. A lot of people tell me, I know you're a religious man. Well, I'm not. Religious cannot save you. Religion cannot deliver you. Religion cannot heal you. But I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open to make the lame walk again, but I know a man who can. Come call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus because he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one loves you and your heart's broken, come to Jesus because he loves you. He gave himself for you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I know a man who can solve all your problems. He's the God man, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the man, 100% man, Christ, God, Jesus Christ, the God-man who gave himself for our sins, hallelujah, that he might redeem us and purify us unto him, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you zealous to work for him today? Go on and praise him, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost came to reveal Jesus, and he came to impart salvation. And salvation in Christianity, it is not a religion. It is a life. It is a relationship. It is the life of God living inside of man. And you can have more, I want to tell you, more than sitting in some dead church, listening to a dead sermon, singing some dead songs. Christianity is the life of God. It is enjoying the presence of God. It is experiencing the miracle, working power of God through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I tell you something, people. We don't need religion. We need the reality of the Holy Ghost and what He imparts unto you. He came so that you and I could become new creations in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's why I can sing that song. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. Have no desire. I don't understand how I could ever have been so foolish. Well, I was blinded by the God of this world. But I got enlightened by the Holy Ghost. And He's the hyssop of the Old Testament. And He took the blood of Jesus and He applied it to my heart. He applied it to every born-again Christian's heart. He comes to impart the life of Christ so you and I can be free from sin. But He not only did He come to impart life to you, secondly, He came to empower you. He came to empower you. So many people say, I just can't live the Christian life. And they say things like, I joined some church, but I don't know what church to join. And if I joined the church, I know I couldn't live it. That's the problem right there with so many people. You don't need to join some particular church. You need to join yourself to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And once you join yourself to Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost will give you the power to serve Him. Paul said, knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with Him. Why, Paul? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. It's not me that's living in me. It's Christ Jesus that's living in me. It's Christ living you. The mystery that God had hidden for ages, that if the princes of this world had known it, they would not have crucified Him. What is that mystery, Paul? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He gives you the power, through the power of the Holy Ghost, to live this life. Go on and praise Him for the new life, for the new birth, and for the impartation of His power. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost not only comes to impart the life of God, but He comes to empower you. A lot of people, they get saved, but they live their lives as Christians without power. They're saved. They have the witness of the Spirit, but they don't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the power that He brings. People say, well, I wasn't taught like that. Well, I want to tell you something. One idea, one wrong idea can keep you bound for the rest of your lifetime. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Come here, Jennifer, and let me embarrass you. Hallelujah. I keep looking at that. My daughter, I remember when she was a little girl, and she and her brother were in the house with us there, and they were mocking me. I'm not going to ask you to do that. I won't ask you to do that. And Jason said, this is how Daddy dances. And he got up on one leg like that. And she said, no, that's not how Daddy dances. Let me show you how Daddy dances. She got up and danced all over the place. Took off running from the living room, ran the dining room table, come back through the archway there, speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, He's a great God. A little child now, I tell you, the promise is unto you and to your children, to as many as are afar off. The Holy Ghost is a gift, and if you've not received Him, He's been sent. Amen. I want us to look at Acts chapter 8, because religion and tradition teaches that you get everything when you're saved, that you get it all. But the Bible doesn't teach that. I'm going to give you some good teaching this morning. Look at Acts chapter 8 when Philip, by the way, Philip was full of the Holy Ghost. They had him waiting on tables, but they chose some people full of the Holy Ghost. He goes down to Samaria full of the Holy Ghost as an evangelist. God elevated him. He goes to Samaria to preach Jesus. Look at Acts 8 and 6. Acts 8 and 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came of many out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and they were the lame were healed. And look at this, and there was great joy in the city. That's some joy in this church. I tell you what, when you think about Jesus and what he's done for you, joy just begins to rise up in your heart. People were saved. People were delivered. People were healed. And great joy filled the city. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Jesus unto them. He did not preach about the church. He did not preach about rules and regulations. He did not preach about the denomination. That won't get anybody saved. He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus because Jesus saves. He preached Jesus because Jesus heals. He preached Jesus because Jesus delivers. So Philip preached Jesus, and people were saved, and signs and wonders and miracles took place. These men were saved that were under his ministry. They were born again, but they had not received the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, he comes to empower you. Now look at Acts 8 and 14. All these miracles had taken place. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? Now, these were born-again believers. Look at verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. That is right there in your Bible. They were saved, but they had not received the gift, the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. They had the witness of the Spirit. They were born again. But the Holy Ghost, when he comes first to impart the new birth to us. But once we are saved, we need to go on and receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. That's the Pentecostal pattern. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. You will speak in tongues. That's the pattern. Look at Paul. Paul, later, he goes down to Ephesus. He finds a group of believers, and he asked them, what was his message? He said, have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received him since you believe? Now, this is 20 years after Pentecost. Look at Acts 19 and 2. Paul, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we've not so much heard as whether that be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. John, of course, he preached the baptism of repentance, saying there is one mightier than I. He's coming, the latchet of him. I'm not worthy to unloose. He said, he's going to send the Holy Ghost. That one that I saw coming down that dusty road, that one that I said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, that man, Jesus Christ, is going to send the Holy Ghost to the church. Hallelujah. Now look at Acts 19 and 6. And when Paul preached them, just like I'm preaching to you. He preached to them first. He preached to them. They heard the word. They believed the word. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Prophecy is one of the great gifts, but tongues is a miracle gift from God. And it doesn't matter what you've been taught. I'm teaching you what the Bible has to say about it today. You not only need the impartation of eternal life, but you need to be empowered with the Holy Ghost so you can be clothed with power from on high. Now listen to this. Philip was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He went to Samaria. People were saved. People were healed. And miracles happened. Brother John couldn't move his neck. We were just singing a song. And he said, I can't move my neck. I said, let me have it. I said, turn it to the left. Turn it to the right in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit him, and he was healed right there while we were singing the song, while we were just greeting one another. You ought to be so full of the Holy Ghost that you can demonstrate God's power to people. Paul was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He went down to Ephesus. People were saved. People were healed. And people were filled with the Holy Ghost. There will never be a manifestation of the Holy Ghost unless God's people are filled with the Holy Ghost. There will not be a manifestation. It takes the Holy Ghost. He takes the things from Jesus and reveals them and does the work in our midst. Amen. See, you cannot cast out devils without the power of God. You cannot lay hands on the sick and then be healed without the Holy Ghost unless he comes upon you. The baptism in the Holy Ghost will revolutionize your life. You see, the demons of hell, they have been unleashed on our families and upon our homes. And there's a drug epidemic that's gone all across this nation, and it's robbing us of our young people. And there are men and women, the Bible says, in the last days, their hearts will fail them because of fear. We're living in that time. And thank God we've not been left alone. Jesus sent the power of the Holy Ghost to empower us. Thank God he has not left us without power. The power to be bold to testify of Jesus. The power to be bold to preach the word of God. The power to be bold to set the captive free. The power to be bold to heal the sick. The power to impart. The Holy Ghost, he came to impart, but he also came to empower. Hallelujah. Number three, he came to enlighten. I cannot tell you what the gift of tongues and the baptism in the Holy Ghost has meant in my Christian life. And I see so many Christians, and it doesn't make anybody superior to another people. That's not what we're saying. He is a gift. He's a gift for you, and he's sent to the whole church world. He belongs to you. You have the witness, but if you've never been filled and spoken with tongues, the empowerment of the Spirit is a gift to you. That's what I'm trying to get across to people. Number three, he comes to enlighten. Thank God for the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. This is a Holy Ghost-given prayer. Paul is praying for the church, and in this prayer, he's praying for the church of all ages. Paul said, since I heard of your faith, I have not ceased to pray for you. Look at Ephesians 1 and 7. Paul said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That is right there. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has an inheritance wrapped up inside of you. Hallelujah. That's a prayer right there that Paul prayed for enlightenment, for a spirit of wisdom, for a spirit of revelation that would come to the church. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost, he will show you things to come. Jesus said, he will take the things that belong to me and he will reveal them unto you. That's revelational knowledge, my friend. Church, we are not limited to what our five senses in this natural world can tell us. We are in touch with Almighty God. We are in touch with the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And we are in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Covenant. We are in touch with God. And we have revelational knowledge. We came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And we've been born again. We are partakers of God's divine nature. We have him. He has us. And he wants more of us. Do you want more of him? Then go on and praise and glory to God. He comes to make an impartation and to give you revelational knowledge. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost, he enlightens. And you don't need to be cheated out of the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the miracles of tongues. It's a miracle. Paul said, I pray that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, we get enlightenment from the Holy Ghost, and the eyes of our hearts are flooded with light that we might know the things that are freely given of God. He wants the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, to know the hope of his calling, that you will know the riches of the glory that he has for you. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And he had put all things under his feet. Glory to God. Everything is under the feet of Jesus. Jesus stripped the devil of his power, made a show of him openly, gave us the keys of the kingdom. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I'm looking at people right now that have experienced miracles because of the miracle working power of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, praying in an unknown tongue, then praying the will of God, standing at hospital beds, praying for sick people, calling people back, praise God, that have, it looks like they've gone, but because of the power of the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus, and the power of the blood, they are here on planet Earth, and God is healing. We got a church full of people like that. Go on and praise him. Do you remember your miracle moment? God has a miracle for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He came to enlighten us so we can have what we should have in Jesus Christ. We're not walking around like some poor, ignorant children on earth without knowledge. The Spirit of God has come to make alive the things of God, and we are enlightened. Look at what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. See, the world can't understand us. The preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them that perish, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Look at this, that we might know. That's enlightenment. That we might know what? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. And that's why you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So you can receive spiritual enlightenment, and so you can understand the mysteries of God. Every born-again Christian needs the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You need the miracle power to pray in unknown tongues unto a God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. So the first principle of faith is you must believe in an invisible, unseen God. Do I have any believers out there? Hallelujah. He said, if you believe me, he said, I'll give you some impartation. I'll show you some things. I'll lead you and I'll guide you through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, what's so important about speaking in tongues, Pastor? I heard it's the lesser gifts. Let me tell you, there are no lesser gifts. I was filled with the Holy Ghost one Sunday morning. I spake in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I prayed for one solid week, and I couldn't get a sound, not a syllable. And I went home, and I talked to my mother on a Saturday night. She said, son, let's pray. It was about 7 o'clock. It might have been 8 o'clock. I really don't remember. I just know this. I put my hands in her hands, and she began to talk to me. She said, well, son, let's pray. She started praying. She said a few words, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost snapped her back. Have you ever seen anybody snap by the power of God? Then she snapped forward. And when she did, I was slain in the Spirit. I woke up about 2 or 3 a.m. singing in the Spirit, singing in tongues. And I've been singing ever since. And from that moment to this moment, let me tell you something. Every one of the 9 manifestation gifts have worked in my life at one time or another. He is a precious gift. He is a gift that has been sent to the Holy Ghost, to the church. And the Holy Ghost wants to empower us with power from on high. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 2. This is why you should speak in tongues. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Do you see that? But unto God. Howbeit, no man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. When you start talking to God in the Holy Ghost, you don't know what you're saying. But Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding. I've got a song I wrote. Well, I really didn't write that. I just heard it first. I was sitting in church. I told my wife, I wasn't pastoring then. I just had so hungry for God. I needed a touch from God. I said, I'm going over to the church and pray. And my custom was I'd lock myself in church and pray way into the night. And I had a little piece of paper in my Bible, and all of a sudden I started singing. And I took that piece of paper and I, Jesus is the only one who can save your weary soul. Jesus is the only one who can make a sick body whole. Jesus is the only one who can take away the pain. He really loves you. He'll make you whole again. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb at Mount Calvary. We were healed by the stripes on his back. They were laid there for you and me. We were freed from sin and sickness. We were freed from a load of shame. He's gone away to prepare a place, but he's coming back again. I tell you what, he's coming. He's coming for a church. He's coming for a church filled with his power, filled with his anointing and his presence. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 2 again. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, I sang that song in tongues, and then I sang it in English. Speaking not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. By the way, I'm not a songwriter. I've written about 10 of them. Like I said, I didn't write them. I just heard them first. They just came out of some of my great struggles in life. And I thank God for them. God said, I will walk in them. God said, I will dwell in them. I will show them mysteries. Yea, I will reveal the deep things of God to them. Hallelujah. You see, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are where God lives. God moved out of the holiest of holies in the Old Testament when the veil in the temple was torn apart. And God was gone. Well, where did God go? Well, he moved out of that temple in order to move into you and me. We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will walk in them. I will dwell in them. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Hallelujah. And we don't need to go up to heaven to find him. We don't need to go to some far part of the earth to find him. God lives in you. And God lives in me. And he lives in us to enlighten us by the power of the Holy Ghost. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. We receive the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given of God. So the Holy Ghost imparts, the Holy Ghost empowers, the Holy Ghost enlightens, and last of all, the Holy Ghost enforces. The Holy Ghost is the only part of the Godhead that is in this earth today. God the Father is in heaven, and Jesus Christ, his Son, God the Son, is seated at his right hand. But on earth today, that is the mighty, glorious power, the all-knowing, all-seeing Spirit of God. On the day of Pentecost, he hit that place like a rushing, mighty wind. Why did he come? Thank God he didn't come to sit on a committee. He didn't come to sit in some dark corner of some religious organization. He didn't come to give advice once in a while. He came to take charge of the church of God. He came to take charge of the kingdom of God. He came to take charge in the hearts of God's people and show them things and reveal them things. He came to do what Jesus would do. Hallelujah. He came to enforce the new covenant. He came to see that the name of Jesus is honored. He came to stand and to enforce, to be the authority of heaven, to make sure that every promise of God is yes and amen. He came to empower us so we can cast out devils, so we can heal the sick, so we can set the captive free. The Spirit of God is here. He is here to exalt the power and the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I want to ask you the same question that Paul asked when he went down to Ephesus. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, no, we've not even heard about a Holy Ghost. Well, maybe you've never heard a message like this today. But don't close your heart and don't close your spirit to the things of God. Because it's one thing to have the life of God imparted unto you, but it's another thing to have the Spirit of God come upon you and to receive Him into your spirit and to let Him empower you, to enlighten you, and to enforce the new covenant to where it becomes a reality in your life. You can receive the promise. You can have all that God has planned for you. You can have the reality of the fullness of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is a gift to every born-again believer. Let us stand. He's a great gift. Hallelujah. He comes to impart. He comes to empower. He comes to enlighten. And He comes to enforce the covenant rights that you have as a child of God. It's a legal thing in the courts of heaven. The name of Jesus carries power in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And everything He did in His redemptive work, He did it for you and me. Now, I want the prayer team to come down here. They don't know I'm going to do this. I want the prayer team to come. Come on, come on. You know who you are. Come on down here, prayer team. Run on down here. Hallelujah. And what I want you to do, I want you to turn around and face the people. Come on, Sister Edna, come on down here. Sister Clara, others, get across here. Those of you that have never received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, these people are going to lay hands upon you. Paul went down to Ephesus. He laid hands upon the people, and they received the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues. And I've laid my hands upon hundreds of people, and I've seen God fill them time and time with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let me give you some more, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, I want you all to start making your way toward the altar. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, if you've never received power from on high, hallelujah. He is a gift. He's not an influence
that can ever come close.
He is a person, third person of the adorable Godhead. And I want you to come and I want you to just say, Lord, I will receive the Holy Ghost.
Your
while hands are laid upon me.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, You sent the Spirit to empower Your church. And Lord, by faith, we're laying hands upon people.
Of the sweetest of
we're making an impartation. Those of you that have habits that are unpleasing to God, lay them down. Just lay those things down. Say, God, I'm laying it all down at the altar. I come to receive everything that You have for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Receive the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues in Jesus' name. Receive You the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and begin to praise Him. Speak in tongues. Open your mouth and praise Him. Hallelujah. Receive You the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues.
Jacobus. Place and fill the atmosphere.